Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris.
All right, we're all back together again. Finally. All right, it's been a while.
Yeah,
it's
been a while.
But a lot of stuff's been going on since then. Most notably, the name, image, and likeness have got passed, and rightfully so. I mean, I am a big guy on that. I think that they finally did right by the players. Now, was NCAA ever going to do it without, I guess, the Supreme Court forcing their hand? Probably not.
No, they never would have.
But it has passed. They made rules on it. Still not really – I don't think they're really that clear of rules. But I actually didn't mind what Mitch Barnhart did. At first, I was kind of like, man, it's some bullshit that they're kind of making kind of rules on there. But at the end of the day, kids are making money, right? So that's what it's all about.
I think that's what scared people off from it for so long is, like, it's the right thing to do, yes, but how do we go about this the right way? And it's like nobody wanted to take that first leap. So it's kind of as are a lot of things in life where it just takes one school in this instance to just be like, okay, fuck it, we're doing this.
Well, I think it's made it. I think it's going to make the sport better. It's going to keep kids that would go for money reasons, you know, especially in like the basketball side, football side, their kids have to stay there 3 years. So, I mean, that's been kind of a rule for a long time. But the basketball side of things, kids tend to go to the league because they feel like, you know, a lot of these kids come from inner cities and stuff like that, or they come from a background that's they got to provide for their families and understand that you're going to make a lot more money in the G League than you ever will in college. Right. I get it. Me and Mike have always said this, and I know Chris believes this too. We'll never fault a kid for going and making money, ever.
Nope.
That's your life. That is what you need to do. And we for as a fan, do I get tired of it in basketball? Yeah, absolutely, I do. But do I understand it? Do I get mad at the kid? No, not at all.
The only times I don't like it is when it's painfully obvious that the kid doesn't want to have anything to do with being a student athlete and dealing with the responsibilities of a student athlete. So, like Khalil Whitney, that kid had no desire at all to be in college.
I'll give you a name right here. And the guy was there 2 years, Isaiah Briscoe. Isaiah Briscoe had no intention of staying in college. He was forced to come back a second year because
he can't.
Yeah. But like someone like him had no business going to the league. And if he were to stay at Kentucky for 4 years, he'd probably make pretty good money. I mean, he would have been one of the guys that I don't know how he is in a commercial. I have no idea. He may not be very good in commercial. I don't know, but you would have thought he would be one of the guys that people go after, just like Mintz will be this year in basketball. But I know this is a football show, but it is. I think it's more geared towards the basketball side of things because football has things in place where kids have to stay 3 years. But obviously, they're gonna benefit off it. And I think Kentucky will be a school that will benefit off it more than most because we don't have a pro team here. We don't. I mean, everything is revolved around Kentucky, Louisville, and then of course, you know, Western and other schools like that. But Kentucky, Alabama, stuff like that don't have pro teams in their state will throw all their money at their sponsors inside those states will throw all their money at these kids.
Well, you made a good point by bringing up a name like Isaiah Briscoe because that if you followed basketball recruiting for a long time, Isaiah Briscoe was a name that most people knew, like he was well known in you know, high school basketball circles, and everybody thought he was going to be a superstar and all that kind of stuff. But his game just did not translate to today's game. He could not shoot for shit. He was like way too thick, not fast enough, couldn't really break people down off the dribble like that, not tall enough to be a two guard, yet he couldn't play the point. So it's like, what do you do with this guy? So being the type of personality and player he was, he would be a player like him in the future would be perfect for a community like and where, or just Kentucky in general, where they don't really have a lot of future in terms of NBA prospects, but they can make a lot of money via NIL in the community in Kentucky.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys you can point to and say, hey, you know, they may not be pro athletes, but they're guys that can make a lot of money. Just in the 4 years there at Kentucky. And then, of course, that can build on to things in the future for those kids, and that's fine. I think I don't like – I know this is going to kind of sound weird because I get there's kids that are underage on the team, but I don't like how Mitch Barnhart says you can't promote for per se, you know, alcohol or whatever. I get all that stuff, but like, but yet he has a Woodford Reserve promoted in his stadium type of things. I don't know. The stuff like that is kind of it's kind of petty. But again, kids are going to make their money. So
at the same time, you got to give Mitch Barnhart credit. A lot of people were worried that he wasn't,
I don't think he's for it at all. I'll be honest with you, but that's the way he is.
And that's fine.
He's kind of a square. I mean, not to throw shade at him, but that's what he is.
He still had his athletic department put together a plan and execute a website that pretty much no other university rolled out the day NIL came out. Like, they were ready, and they came out with a good product. They had a plan, and people were like Jalen Duren, the number one high school player who's going to reclassify in 21.
Yeah.
But he's probably going to go pro anyway, so we'll get into that later if we can. So part of Kentucky's pitch when he came to visit a week and a half ago was that, you know, they showed him the new website. They showed him what avenues Kentucky businesses and Nike and stuff like that were willing to provide to especially him or other prospective high-ranking athletes that could come to Kentucky, and what from other schools, what they could provide that student athlete instead of going to the NBA or the G League or something like that. So that's another thing is like, he's not going to come to Kentucky, but you know, I'm sure that made him.
No, I keep seeing Memphis on him. I keep seeing Memphis on him. Keep seeing that, but I don't know.
He's going to go pro.
Well, that's okay. You know, I understand. But I know what you're saying. He was well prepared, and I do think Mitch Barnhart's one of the best ADs in all of college. What he's done here, he's made some mistakes. I mean, obviously Billy Gillespie is the one that stands out. Joker. I mean, those are just pretty bad hires. But I mean, most ADs, they swing and miss on a lot of products. He has not swing and missed on Mark Stoops and obviously Cal. Those guys have made him look really good in his other sports too. I mean, volleyball, winning national championships, swimming, other sports have really done good underneath him. And like I said, when I talk about Mitch Barnhart, he is the ultimate, I hate using this kind of word because people get too caught up with it, but he is an ultimate conservative kind of guy. He seems like a guy that's really, you know, he doesn't want alcohol at his games. He doesn't do stuff like other ADs do, but at the end of the day, you're right. He is a guy that's very prepared, and he does. He's been great for Kentucky.
Well, I respect the fact that he, you know, implements his faith and his morals into his decision making and stuff like that. However, athletics are a business, and there's no place in business, especially big business like the NCAA and the SEC, for your faith and morals to cloud good decision making.
Well, especially when you're talking about, you allow it, just it's a bad look to me when you allow at the football stadium. You know, Mike sat in the Woodford Reserve section before. We got lucky, but it's a little weird that we were able to drink, but then everyone around you can't. So basically, what you're saying is, if you spend a lot of money, we'll let you drink at the game. But if you don't,
let them drink.
I mean, that's the one thing I'm kind of caught up on, is because it's just, you're losing money.
Yeah,
you lose the money on that because I mean Texas A&M does it. I think who else does it in the SEC? I think Alabama allows it, doesn't they? Don't they?
It doesn't
matter. I think the teams that I get both aspects of it, but at the same time, I mean, I think if you're gonna allow a certain section to do it, but not the rest of the stadium, that's a bad look to me. But again, we're not here to talk about Mitch Barnhart. He's done a good job, and you know, me and Mike's been in a game with Mitch Barnhart when people were yelling at him, the fire Joker, and he yelled back at him.
Yeah, I like that.
I do like that because that tells you he wants to win too. You know, it's not he was yelling back at them. We're not talking like, oh, be quiet. He was cussing. I mean, that's a guy that's up there every game, and I'm telling you, he is at every football game.
Oh yeah,
here
on basketball.
And, yes, he's at every basketball game, and he is cheering, and he is rowdy, and I will tell you, that guy gives a shit about his football and he gives a shit about his basketball as far as, you know, the sports that, that we care about. I mean, as far as the main sports that brings in money. The baseball team, that's a totally different subject. I know other people are getting a little pissed off by the baseball team, but outside of that, he's a good athletic director. That's for sure. So anyways, moving on. So we had a big addition today. Obviously, Chris, you were the one that broke it out for us. Our guy's been pretty much right from day one, and it's Chris has got Chris's call, and what a big addition to Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, his name's Zadarius Rosenthal. Sorry. Yeah, another transfer is Zadarius. But he's a 6'7 offensive tackle, prototype role in terms of NFL talent, super athletic, really big, not fat by any means. Really hard worker. He just had some off the field issues in terms of marijuana use. But even Ed Orgeron went to bat for him and said he's a really good kid. He got his head on straight, makes decent grades, all that kind of stuff. Passable grades, I should say.
What's the two things that are really impressive by him? There's two things for me that's really impressive by him.
Long arms and athleticism. It's exactly what you want from a tackle.
Yes, that is. But also with him, you're coming in. You have what on Kentucky's offensive line? You have two guys that are projected first rounders.
Yeah, Ian Kennard are going to be unbelievable bookends. But it's like, Kennard came back to be a starting left tackle. Do you take that away from him in favor of Rosenthal when Kennard came back to show everybody that he could be a starting left tackle, or is he cool with going back to right tackle?
My opinion on that is I think Rosenthal. Is that how you say it? Rosenthal. Yeah. He's used to pass blocking, man.
Yeah. Pass block.
He's come from LSU, who throws the ball a lot.
Good point.
That's where I get kind of caught up with it.
Pass blocked more in one game than Kennard did all last season.
I mean, that's we laugh about it, but that's probably the truth.
It's probably true though. I mean, seriously, it's probably true.
That's where I get caught up with. Now do I think Kennard would be a fine left tackle? Yes, I do. Absolutely. He's an All-American. He keeps bringing home All-American honors. Every time I get on Twitter or Facebook, he's got another All-American honors. And of course, you know, I got upset. Another Twitter page on there that a lot of people follow is someone left him off as top 50 best SEC players coming into the season. He was left off it. You're a dumbass if you do that. I'm sorry. But regardless if you're talking about athlete, whatever, he's top 50 best. He's top 10, honestly. He's only a few All-Americans coming back, and he's one of them. But I see what you're saying there. But the NFL, they do grade it that way. They want to see what you do at left tackle and stuff like that. But same time, NFL is going to – if you're NFL type of offensive lineman, they'll draft you.
Yeah.
And they'll work with you.
They see your potential. I don't think Kennard's going to have any issues. No. Even if Rosenthal takes over at left tackle. It'll just be interesting to see what they do. I mean, the staff's big on versatile linemen anyway, and they've been using Luke Fortner a lot at center. They've been using Austin Dotson a lot at center. They've been mixing Eli Cox in there at center. Kentucky's just, like, loaded offensive tackle.
Yes, they are, and it's just going to continue. I mean, they have continued to build depth there, and we have said this. I mean, you can go back through our podcast. We have said this probably 10, 20 times. Why Kentucky is the way has turned this program around is not because of Coach Stoops or Merrill. I mean, of course, they have a big hand in it, but it's because they've changed their lines, offense and defensive line. I finally see, when I turn on games, I see Kentucky control both of those. That's something when I was a kid, Chris, you could tell, we could talk about this going to games. This back in 2004, yep. We talk about going to games. And I mean, the offensive line where we had our biggest guy was 280 pounds, right? Yeah.
Matt McCutcheon used to start at center 6'2", 290.
I mean, that is an understatement of how small our offensive line and defensive lines were so small back then. It was literally Kentucky's defense was always bend, don't break, right? So just hope they made a mistake and we would make it. You know, we would make a play or whatever. And I'm not taking away from of course, there were some fantastic offensive line when we were in college. I mean, Justin Jeffries and a lot of guys are playing a league now. I mean, guys that are actually playing a league. These guys play at their Detroit now.
Warford.
I mean, I can't think of – yeah, there you go. Warford. I mean, you have guys that played in the pros. I mean, those are great offensive line, but I mean, nothing like we've seen with Stoops' era. I mean, my God. I mean, guys that constantly get drafted or getting signed, even non-drafted free agents, those guys getting signed. So
circle back to our last podcast where we're discussing how it's kind of understated how difficult it's going to be for Kentucky's offensive line to switch from having that mauling mentality. And I still think they're going to be asked to be physical and get downhill with the running backs in the zone scheme, but they're going to be asked to do a lot more pass blocking. So they've had to cut a lot of weight and lean a lot on their athleticism. So it's nice to inject somebody who already is athletic and who already has been running a pro style offense and pass blocking that pro style offense. So it'll ease that transition a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, tonight we're breaking down the offense. I don't, we kind of got ahead of it, but we are breaking. So if you weren't with us in the last show we broke down the defense. This one's going to be the offense. And obviously we've jumped into the offensive line. That's the strength of the offense. Has been. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I said the strength of the team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think that like I said, with the addition today, I mean that pretty much seals the tackle spot for sure. And of course,
I think with this addition, we're the best offensive line in the SEC, if not all of college football.
I think we're the best offensive line in the SEC already. Cole Kublik thinks that as well.
Oh, Chris, you took it from me. I'm pulling it up now.
No argument.
I was pulling it up now. You have what Cole said. Cole said we're the best offensive line in the SEC.
And that was prior to Dari Rosenthal joining the Cats. So how do you get better than the best?
Just get stronger, really.
Yeah.
I think the biggest addition, this is, and I know, obviously Kennard and getting Rosenthal today is huge, but getting Fortner back, it was big, considering he's actually taken another senior year. You know, sixth year, right? So,
well, he's a leader on that offensive line too. I mean, he's a glue guy. So to have somebody like that who's super intelligent again to ease this transition to a new offense, it can't be overstated how important that is.
I mean, the biggest thing, obviously, to me, the biggest hole in the offensive line is replacing arguably the best center we've ever had at Kentucky.
Yeah.
But they say the Quentin Wilson guy, that's who I guess that's who they're going to plug in there. They say he's done pretty good.
Well, here's what's worrisome about that, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, how many people they're working into center. From what it seemed is that Wilson was like the heir apparent for Drake Jackson, but now you hear less and less of him. And, nobody knows if that's like a product of him like regressing or if that's, them just trying to put their best people on the field at the same time, trying to slide Fortner over there and give some of the younger talented guys a chance to start at guard or what, but they have been working other people in at center. Instead of Wilson,
to explain the offensive line, and Mike's been a lineman, I was a lineman on the offensive side. The most important spot of the whole offense is the center.
Yeah, and that's why I like Fortner in the center spot because he's probably our smartest offensive lineman. Like you said, Chris, he's a team leader, and that's what your center needs to be.
That's what's important.
And that's been the case now for the past like 6 years with John Toth and Drake Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's the thing.
Our smartest players and our leaders.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you gotta have a center there that knows how to. The center, and I'm gonna guess this offense is the same. Obviously, I haven't seen outside of what we see at the Rams and stuff like that. The center universally is the guy who calls out all the schemes, defensive schemes, blitzing. He calls out who you're blocking and stuff like that. That is all in the center, and not to mention make the snap.
Yeah.
That's why you tend to put your smarter guys at center than you do in the other spots because, your left tackles and your guards. I mean, the offensive line itself is a very hard position to play. But the center spot is the most important one. It's essentially your catcher, your quarterback out there for that position. So just to put that out there.
But moving on to receivers, who are our obvious starters?
Ollie and Robinson. No, those two for sure.
Yeah.
1,000%. Those two for sure.
Got to have at least one more.
Well, I know, but those two are the ones that you're for sure going to be in there. But, I mean, I guess with Cummings, you can say him.
I like that Sanders kid, too, by the way.
Ernest Sanders?
Yeah.
Hasn't the Magwood, had he done a good job in the
spring ball? He had a really good spring, yeah. Yeah. But who else? Dekel Crowder's put on a lot of weight. He's a fast dude out of Lexington. Frederick Douglass. What,
Ernest, is it Ernest Sanders? He's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
But another guy that transferred to Kentucky from Michigan State, Trevon Morgan, 6'6", 218.
Ooh.
Kind of excited about him. Kind of excited about the possibility of he and Keaton Upshaw in the red zone.
Keaton Upshaw is going to be the best offensive weapon that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, over and over again, we talk about how we have these great tight ends we never use, but this is finally an offense that, obviously, from watching the Rams, they use the tight end. You would think he's going to also use the tight end. So, but the thing is, Upshaw is the type of tight end that's going to play in the pros.
Yep.
He's the new style of tight end. I mean, the guy can somewhat block, but he's more of a wide receiver that's a mismatch for any kind of corner or linebacker. He's faster. He can beat a linebacker off the ball. He's faster than him, and he's the same size as a linebacker, but a corner can't handle him because he's too big.
He's much bigger than linebackers.
So that's the thing. That's the new, and, you know, one of your boys from your team is pretty much started. I mean, really, Gonzalez started from Kansas City, but Gronk was the one that you saw. Everyone wanted to have a Gronk, right?
That's right.
And it's, I mean, the guys, obviously he's had a lot of injury and stuff, but it's still his career numbers speak for themselves. And now you got guys like Kelsey and other guys in the league, and that's what everyone's trying to get now. And we have one in Upshaw.
He's been unbelievably underutilized.
Oh, yeah.
Like all our tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But he's a different breed. He's actually a guy. I mean, CJ Conrad was fine. I mean, he was still a really great blocker. But he could catch the ball and stuff like that. But Upshaw is the guy that you can put anywhere. You can even split him out and he'd still be good.
And they're going to.
And yeah, they will. Because he's a mismatch. Why would you not use that? If they put a corner on him, then shame on them. They put a linebacker on him, he'll beat him off the ball. He's faster.
Well, that's what's so awesome about Kentucky, and we're getting kind of off the receivers here, but that's all right. That's what's so awesome about Kentucky's tight end room is they have Upshaw. They have Brendan Bates, who he had a lot of praise in the spring as well. And he's in the same vein as Upshaw. He's not as tall, but he's just as big. He's really athletic. He had an awesome spring. He's another guy that they're going to stretch out to the outside. And they're going to rely on Rigg a whole lot as an inline blocker.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he came back. I mean, that's just adds depth there. So, but yeah, he's mostly in there. If he's in there, they're probably going to run the ball. But no, sorry, we'll circle back to wide receivers. But no, I think obviously on paper the best wide receiver is Robinson.
Who's a surprise guy in the wide receiver room?
I like Drennan, man. He's not really a surprise, but I think Drennan's going to. I think he's due for a big year. He's always reminded me of kind of a. I don't mean to compare, but Lynn Bowden type of guy. Yeah, that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, that was his MO coming out of high school. I think that was unfair because they're two different types of players. But
Lynn Bowden's the best one you can kind of compare him to. Lynn Bowden's Lynn Bowden. There's no one we've ever seen him like him.
Drennan's just very shifty like Lynn Bowden.
Yes, but Lynn Bowden can in the open field is unreal. I'm just going to tell you. That was a once-in-a-lifetime player, just like – it's like Allen was. I mean, we just won't see a guy like that probably ever.
Back the whole season, he wins the Heisman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd have over 2,000 yards rushing. He might have broke the record, to be quite honest with you.
He would have crushed it.
So, but no, that's the guy I like. Who you all like?
Mike.
I like Sanders. I remember just watching his highlight tapes when we signed him, and I was really impressed with the kid.
Super athletic, former basketball player. I can see that.
Seems like he can jump out of the building.
I'm going with Isaiah Epps.
Isaiah Epps, man.
Been around for a long time. Last year, he's recovering from his injury still. He's a burner on the outside. I think he can do it.
We've been hearing about Isaiah Epps for the last 2 or 3 years. Like, he's going to be our best guy. He's going to be our best guy. He never gets on the field, you know? That's what I mean. I feel like the last 2 years, and that's been the guy that everyone's like, Isaiah Epps, man, watch him. Maybe this year will be the year. I hope it is.
No, you know? No. I feel like that was Cleveland Thomas.
Well, yeah. We, a lot of these wide receivers, we try to pump up a little bit, but they worked as
just wait till they get on the field. You got to see them blocking on the outside, man.
Chris, I think you said it one time. We had Mac or Miak or whatever wide receivers. I said, that's why I knew, and I still think there'll be some more that probably transfer out, don't play this year, but. I think this the younger guys, the freshmen, sophomore wide receivers, for the most part, are better than the seniors type of wide receivers. Besides Ali, after last year, he's pretty much showed that he can play at a high level.
Yeah.
I will say that I watched the Tennessee Kentucky game today. Today was Kentucky Takeover Day, and just to watch that offense, man, oh my God. And you feel bad for guys like Ali and stuff, man. It's just like this. I know people like Terry Wilson did a lot of good things for Kentucky football. I will never take that away from him. He's done things that quarterbacks have never done here. But just to watch him, it was that was his best game of the year. And he was like, what, 10 for 12 and 119 yards? Like,
yeah, most of them were like 5 yard passes that he broke.
That's his whole game right there.
So you're having some posthumous frustration. Stuff that I was living the last 3 years and saying the last 3 years, like, this is not fucking right. This offense is not right.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't right. We obviously ended that. I mean,
but we're winning.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm all about winning. I don't care how they do it. They can win 3-0 every game as long as they're 12-0, 3-0. I'm good. But that's just me. I think the wide receiver spot's definitely been better. I think guys are more excited this year. I think they're really going to get the ball where they've been told that's going to happen the last 2 years. You know, what are you saying, Mike?
So they should be excited. We're actually going to throw the ball.
Yeah. I think the one that should be the most excited. Crossed. Well, I think the guy should be the most excited is.
Run plays just as a cruel joke by Liam Cohen.
Wouldn't that be fucked up, man?
It might happen, man. I mean, that's the thing is when your team starts struggling and throwing the throwing game, you rely on your strength that's your offensive line. So it might end up happening that way.
Evan, runoff tackle, 3rd and 1, throw a bomb.
I'm going to tell you, what I've seen from Cohen so far, I'm very, very impressed. And he ain't going to be here very long. I'm just going to go and call that right now.
He's a football guy. And he wants to be in the NFL.
2 years tops.
I would say 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, Brad White's not going to be here very long either. So just get enjoy it while you can. These guys will probably be here for another couple of years. Brad White, maybe not. I think Brad White will get an NFL job here soon as well. But you know what? Everyone's got to understand that if your assistant coaches aren't going to other schools, that means you're not very good. Okay. Right. So,
yeah.
Unless they're Joel Justice and Tony Barbie, which whatever they basically were told to push out. But, you know, I didn't mean to throw a little shade there. But that's a scenario where they got other jobs, but that was because they were like, you know, find another job. anyways,
2 years too late.
Huh?
Said 2 years too late.
2 years, 3 years. They should have. As soon as Coach O was fired, they should have brought him back in.
Yep.
Yep.
And he could have too. That's the shitty part.
Fucking men.
And you know, and some people, like I said, I don't. I think Coach Scott should have been fired? No, not the last year. He's earned. Whatever, we'll put a pass in that year, but to say that he didn't mess up with keeping Joel Justice and Tony Barbie for as long as he did is an understatement. I'm gonna tell you, Tony Barbie's not if they're Central Michigan people, good luck, okay? Good luck to you. because Virginia's going to tell you the same thing. Virginia's going to tell you the same thing. I'll tell you.
Well, we're on basketball quick. I got the finals on, and Giannis just airballed another free throw.
He's I don't want to say he's overrated.
Free throws, yeah.
But
great athlete. He's ready to get into the rim, but you found him. He's not
there. If nobody's worried about you when it comes playoff time because they know you can't shoot in any realm, then you just can't be mentioned in the top five players in the NBA. Nah.
Let him keep airballing it, man. Let Booker get himself a title. I'm
in the win.
So, anyways, getting back to it, the other strength, and we were already touched on a little bit, was tight ends. We're not, you know, obviously Upshaw. I think it's going to be to me, he's going to be a first team All SEC at least at the end of the year.
The only thing I worry about with tight ends is a little grand syndrome here, and that's playing Justin Rigg way too fucking much, which is something they did just like another. I cannot believe you guys are doing this. You have Keaton Upshaw on the bench. He's getting like 15 snaps a game, and you throw it to him twice a game. And Justin Rigg is getting twice that amount of playing time and twice that amount of targets, and he can't catch because he has stones for fucking hands. Yeah. That's what I'm terrified by. It's because I got the PTSDs when it comes to Eddie Grant.
I get what you're saying, and we've seen enough of it that it's believable. But I just don't see that on Cohen, man. He's going to play the best guy, and that's just the way I feel about it. And I think Cohen is looking to get either a head coaching job, or he's looking to get back in the NFL. And we're not talking about getting back in the NFL as a quarterback coach. He's trying to get back in there as a coordinator.
Yeah.
So if he's going to try to put out an offense here. That's going to show that he can do it at Kentucky, of all places. And I'm not bad-mouthing Kentucky, because it's not Kentucky that we're used to as we were kids. But if you were to come to Kentucky and put up the numbers like the guy there at LSU did, he got himself a head coach
Joe Brady, in the NFL. Offensive coordinator job with the Panthers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, offensive coordinator job with the Panthers. But that's what I'm saying, man. That's what you look for. In the SEC, you put in a good offense, that an innovative offense that everybody likes, you're going to get hired. And he was at LSU, what, 1 year?
Yep.
That's what it takes. And it takes – and it obviously Burrow's had a lot to do with that. And that is what it is. But we actually have a guy coming in here as a quarterback that's coming from a big-time school, and Will Levis, and I think he's going to start. So moving on to our next position. That's Will Levis, and that's the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, when your offensive coordinator goes out and gets a guy, that's going to be your starter. Let's just be real here.
Yeah, he was pretty intentional on who he wanted there.
Yeah.
I understand that someone was – well, I've seen some clips online – online and stuff. Joey Gatewood looked pretty good in spring. I get all that stuff, and people are rooting for him. I understand that. People are rooting for Bo Allen. I think if anyone has an argument to say that they look like a starting quarterback in the SEC, it's Bo Allen. You know, he is going to be the future of Kentucky eventually. But they went out and got Will Levis, and he's going to start. Start to break all the – I get all the local people, and Bo Allen is a local kid, and we have a really good track record of local quarterbacks being very, very good. But Will Levis is going to start this year.
Yeah, it's between Joey Gatewood and Levis. Bo Allen's in third in that race.
Yep, so there you go.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, Levis didn't do much at Penn State, yada, yada, yada. If you all watched Penn State's offense last year, they were worse than Kentucky. And he was put in a bad position continually, and he never won the starting job because Penn State's starting quarterback was a legacy. Franklin recruited that starting quarterback because he was a legacy, and he kept him in because he was a legacy. He wasn't very good. Penn State's fans were not happy that Levis left because they know what they had. And if you watch this kid throw the ball, there's no way you can say or walk away from those videos and say like, he's not that good. Dude, cannon, and he's super accurate.
Well, he redid his whole mechanics this offseason. And there's a video out right now where it's showing him this, how quick his release is and how far it goes on a quick release.
It's like the most beautiful throw you could ever see in your life.
Listen, I understand what Franklin did down in Vandy, but he's a moron. That guy's – Penn State can have him all day long. What did you say, Mike?
So Franklin couldn't coach his dick out of his pants.
Well, there you go.
Whoa.
He just went that route. But, yeah, but no, I just he's not a very good coach, but I mean, I think he's an okay coach. What he did down at Vandy was, I mean, Vandy's never seen the things he was doing for them. But at the end of the day, I'm happy we have Will Levis, and I'm happy he's not at Penn State anymore, and I'm happy he's down here. And I have seen his video. That guy is going to be big time this year.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that Will Levis is Tim Couch. So
But if you were to watch the Kentucky Takeover day and watch that Tennessee Kentucky game today, and watched, you know, a lot of these people were out here talking about how great Terry Wilson against Tennessee. Well, if you thought that was a great game, you get ready.
100 yards for the game.
All we need is a quarterback to come in here and throw 250 yards. That's it, man.
No, what I was going to say is what Penn State was doing with Will Levis in the opportunities he had last year is the equivalent of when Elliot Uzalak was running the option with Tim Couch.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. You got this guy with this big ass arm. He's super intelligent. By the way, Will Levis graduated from Penn State in 2 friggin' years. So that just shows you like how cerebral he is. And I've heard people question like his decision making on the field. Well, when you're getting blitzed all the time and you have a shitty offensive line and an even worse offensive coordinator, it's like, what do you want from the guy?
Well, I will say this one though: he can't move out of the pocket. I mean, he's not.
He's mobile. He's mobile. Mobile. He's not a running quarterback.
No, he's not a running quarterback, but he can move. That's what mobile. You need.
Yeah.
He's much like St. Louis. Well, St. Louis Rams will always be St. Louis Rams to me. Damn it. Okay. The LA Rams have a guy like Goff, dislike him, kind of similar, that can move out of the pocket if he has to. I'm just going to put that out there real quick. But continue, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, I kind of hope he's not like Jared Goff. But
well, he can move him. Good if he didn't sound like Jared Goff.
Yeah, that'd be much better if he didn't go that route. but you don't want to knock Joey Gatewood and say, like, oh, you know, hopefully he's not starting, because I'm fine with whoever starts as long as they're the best person to start. Agreed. I don't care if it's Gatewood. I don't care if it's Levis or whatever. But Levis just feels different. It just feels different. Whenever you watch him throw versus like Joey Gatewood, I know Gatewood was not in a position, put in a position to succeed from that offensive staff last year or personnel-wise. Man, just watching him throw. The few times Gatewood got to throw last year against Georgia, it just looks different whenever Levis throws. And it seems like he's already, like, bonded with his teammates a lot.
Well, I feel like this was Gatewood. And watching Gatewood, obviously he's had a year with his teammates now. And he's had a year playing. And Gatewood was essentially a freshman last year. But he did not look comfortable in the pocket. And me and Mike made this comment a couple of times. Bo Allen did look comfortable in the pocket. Yeah. Okay. But it looked like Gatewood was in the mode of, if my first guy isn't open, I got to run.
Just run.
Yep.
And that's what he did. And that's what it almost looked like he was trying too hard, if that makes any sense. Like he was, but he wasn't in his balls were pretty, but they weren't very accurate.
Nope.
He has a nice spiral on it. He has a nice throw. He looks like an SEC quarterback. Hell, he looks like almost like a size of Cam Newton on the field. Yeah. You know, he's not Cam Newton, but he looks like the size of Cam. He's a big guy, you know. But outside of that, man, I was not impressed with Gatewood. But I'm with you, man. If Gatewood's the guy that comes out of you know, the early workouts and day one, he's a starter, I'm totally okay with him, man.
As long as he's the best guy for the job and he earned it, I don't care. It shouldn't matter to any Kentucky fans either.
Yes. No,
I think Cohen will do that because, I mean, like we all said, he's trying to audition back for the NFL. He's coming from the NFL where it's a business. It's not, you know, it's like, oh, I have to play him. He's my senior. No, you play the best guy. And I think
Cohen good point, Mike. I never put it that way, but that is a very good point. That when you get guys coming from the NFL, those guys are more of like, they don't really give a crap about your feelings per se.
Yep.
You weren't here. I didn't recruit you. You're here when I showed up. So, I mean, if you don't like me, Okay. You know, I mean,
I'm going to play the best player.
Because, I mean, college sports in general have now become like the NFL, where,
yep,
you know what, if you don't like it, you can transfer and you can be playing for, you know, Arkansas next week or whatever, next year. You know, if you don't like where you're at right now, they'll waive your transfer. You can be in a Kentucky uniform this week and be in an Arkansas uniform next week. No big deal. Actually, it's even easier than it is in the NFL because there's no contracts.
Right.
You know, you can just say, well, I'm putting my transfer in, and then you're gone. And NCAA waives it. Says, okay, that's fine.
One thing that's not being discussed enough with regards to Cohen is, you know, he spent a lot of time with the quarterbacks in the spring and since he's been in the program. And with him having a background as a quarterback coach, he was a quarterback himself, a very successful quarterback. He's been offensive coordinator in college. Obviously, he was big with quarterbacks and receivers for the Rams. So he is a certified quarterback coach to make an impact. And, like, you can tell just by watching videos, and that doesn't mean shit. But he's going to have an impact on the quarterbacks and their development that – Henshaw and Grant did not have at all in their time at Kentucky. And that's going to be so huge for the direction of the program, the direction of the offense, because those guys, like, man, Kentucky just got so lucky that Steven Johnson came in and spelled Drew Barker when he went down, and he just had balls as big as Texas. Like, that dude was just a winner. He was a leader. And I don't think he got any better in his time at quarterback at Kentucky at all. Succeeded because of his heart, and he was a great leader, and he just wasn't going to lose.
Well, he's definitely fearless. He would just launch the ball up there. He was fearless. And he also had a better crop of wide receivers too.
And same with Terry Wilson. Same with Terry Wilson. I think he was just like, he's a dude who had a lot of grit, and he, I think, regressed as time went on.
Well, again, I think you could kind of look at the wide receiver talent and see, you know, he had
lack of
Wilson,
trust.
Well, Wilson had a safety valve and Lynn Bolden.
Yep.
And then of course with Steven Johnson, he had Bidette and Juice. Great. I mean, bones, probably some of the best wide receivers we had collectively. You know, what was the other guy who used to draw the ball all the time? Barker. What'd you say?
Dorian Baker.
There you go.
The guy that dropped the ball all the time, but if you remember the U of L upside, he made one of the sickest catches for a touchdown.
And he made some pretty big catches throughout his career. Yeah, he had some big drops, but he also made some ridiculous catches.
Well, it's probably the best, wide receiver core we had since we're going all the way back. Stevie Johnson and the other guy? Keenan Burton. So those were some good guys, and obviously, we haven't had a quarterback that was. I mean, you can make an argument about Max, what's his name, Maxwell Smith, but I think there hasn't been a great quarterback since Andre Woodson. I mean, that's just
we're out line, pretty good.
He was okay. I mean, and you can make an argument Randall was okay, stuff like that, but no one's as good. I haven't seen a quality guy since Andre Woodson. So, but you know, you can make an argument about a lot of guys, you know.
But Cohen's going to be able to develop these guys.
Yeah. Well, Cohen's also has experience. He's coming in with a very good track record. You know, he can talk about the league side of it. You know.
Yeah.
That's a big thing with all these guys. I mean, they want to hear about that stuff. Guys are trying to get the pro. You know, he's going to tell them, like, listen. You know, if you're struggling out there, he's going to say, listen, you struggle in the pros. This next guy, pros is very much like, if you don't play good, they don't care who you are. You know, I mean, if you're Zion Williamson, you're playing shitty, they don't care. They'll give you a couple of years, but then after that, it's next guy up, you know. They'll draft over you. They don't care. That's what guys don't understand is in the pros, if you don't work hard, they'll leave you behind. It's very much a business like, and that's okay. But moving on to another
surefire position. Yes. The offensive line.
Yes. The running backs. And obviously Rodriguez is going to be, He'll probably be on some All-American list, but he will definitely be on first-team SEC.
I'd see him. I don't think he's ever going to get that kind of credit unless he puts up just ridiculous Benny Snell number here.
Well, I think he has a chance this year because I really think Smoke is the one that's kind of they're coming out of spring. That's the one they're talking about that he's not. He's almost like a third-string guy now. And I can't believe that.
It's not. If you all do the same thing. Lack of productivity. It's just it's his durability questions.
Well, you have the headache stuff. That's a bad sign. I mean, there was a guy down there played out in Florida that was that headache stuff all the time. He was a really good player in the league for a few years, but he just could not overcome that.
Percy Harvin.
Yes, sure was Percy Harvin, one of the fastest guys I've ever seen. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, waiting in the wings behind Kavassier Smoke at number two is Jutaan McClain. He's already jumped Travis Tisdale, and then you got two young guys in Torrence Davis and Lavelle Wright. Kentucky's just stacked, and they're honestly telling recruits like, "Hey, we don't really have room for you right now,"
which is fair, because they're pretty much offensive line and running back. They are set for at least 5 years.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with McClain and Tisdale, because those are two guys with a lot of wiggle, and they're fast as hell, and they have really good hands.
Well, I know Mike's big on McClain.
Yeah, I like to see him come out of the backfield and catch the ball.
Yeah,
I think his attitude, man. He ran really tough for a undersized running back, true freshman last year, whenever he got in.
I mean, it's unfortunate to see Smoke get left behind because obviously we saw his freshman year and the big game he had against Louisville, and we were thinking big things. But Rodriguez is now he is your solid number one guy. And you're right. I mean, if you – just like we talk about the pros, if you get hurt a lot, the other guy behind you gets to play, and the other guy behind you looks better than you, you know? And that's why I was kind of glad that AJ Rose didn't opt to stay another year, because that would have just really crowded that running back room, because he's kind of kept us from seeing the true Chris Rodriguez and Smoke. I mean, he's taken touches from the
Yeah, Rodriguez, he has not gotten the amount of carries that a number one really should have. And yes, what, because he's another one of those guys like Benny Snell where as you feed him, he just keeps getting better and better and better.
It does. He was hurt. He was out like, what, 4 games last year? He still almost – did he get to 1,000 last year? He was a tick below it.
Let me check.
Yeah, because he was out, what, 3 games, wasn't he? He missed the Alabama game. I remember that. But again, it was just too crowded last year. That's why I was glad Terry Wilson went somewhere else. AJ Rose, nothing against those guys, but kind of the downfall of Eddie Grant and Coach Stoops is they like playing the upperclassmen, and that's why you hear about Rigg coming back. I get what you're saying, Chris. You get a little worried about it. You know, we don't keep being loyal to these guys when there's guys behind them that are better.
Yeah,
and that's just
more prepared and more apt to beat SEC competition. But to clarify, Rodriguez missed 2 games last year, okay, and he put up 701 yards and 9 touchdowns.
What was his yards per carry? I think it was like 4 or 5.
4.9. No, 6.9.
6.9. Oh man, that's even better.
Yeah.
So you put that numbers together. He probably has a full season. He's definitely over 1,000.
Oh yeah.
So,
and if he would have had as many carries as he only had 102 rushing attempts,
which is insane. That's insane. Yeah. That just tells you, man. Oh man, that offense was so messed up. That's so messed up. But what do you say, Mike?
I said that offense last year just didn't make sense at all. It was something I've ever seen.
No identity, man. No identity whatsoever.
12 carries per game.
We would run like a power on a 7, and then on like a 4th and inches, he tried to throw the ball.
Never see it coming.
Yeah. I'm going to fool you all right here.
4th and inches, let's run a screen pass.
I'll never forget that Texas A&M game. It was 4th and 1. You had Benny Snell, All-American, or first team all SEC, best running back, one of the best running backs in the country, and you decide to throw the ball. And not just throw the ball, a fake triple reverse bullshit, I'm going to throw the ball this way. It wasn't even like, let's get back and throw the ball. It was like, I'm going to do a couple fakes here, and then I'm going to throw the ball.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Is that the best running back in school history or some bullshit?
Yeah, no shit. Whatever. We don't deal with that shit anymore. And like I said, A. Grant seems like a very good guy, but for Kentucky offensive coordinator for the new era of football, not so much. But
I don't know if I'll ever be able to stop talking about it. Ever.
It's done a lot of psychological damage on us, just throwing it out.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to take away from either that he built a damn good offense with Lynn Bowden, a quarterback.
Because that's all he knows how to do is develop a run game. How dare you?
And that was it. But it was a damn good offense, I will tell you. That offense was put up a lot of numbers. I mean, we had games where he threw like 10 yards and had over 500 yards of offense.
All I can think about is how many wins he left on the field because he was an incompetent offense.
Yes. Well, anyway, so yeah, I'm excited about this offense this year, and I know you guys are too. I mean, it's all kind of an unknown to all of us, and yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. I can't wait.
But I'm also it's like a kid watching a scary movie, right? Like you're watching it with tons of intent, but my hands are over my eyes, like, looking through the creases, like, oh God, what's gonna happen?
How are we gonna fuck this up?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I will say this. Kentucky's going to benefit from the first game, a warm-up game. And Missouri's going to be the first true test.
Test, yeah.
So, but you know, if they find a way to win against Missouri, then they'll have Chattanooga to be able to kind of make them look a little better, you know.
Yeah, go against a home game in Florida. That'd be nice.
I think that Missouri game, I'm not as worried about it because they've circled that game. And that is, I mean, the players want that game.
Yeah.
But, of course, we'll get into our prediction show later on. That's our favorite time of the year.
Walk you guys back there.
What did you say?
So I was about to have to walk you guys back.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited about the season, man. What is this, a hell of a home slate we have this year? I mean, we have LSU. We have Florida, we have Tennessee, we have Missouri. If Louisville wasn't bitching all the damn time, we'd have them at home as well.
Yep.
You know, they're over crying and they lost a home game. Look, whatever. No one cares.
You guys are going to have a good time with those games.
We should have did it last year. Let them have a home game with Andy Stadium. That's what we should have done. All right. So I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.
Go Cats.